Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. After months of cautiously declining to take a position on the matter, today Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker said he would sign a transgender public accommodation bill if it makes it to his desk. He says he'll sign the House version, and tomorrow the Massachusetts House will begin debate on the bill that would ban discrimination against transgender people in public places like restaurants and sports arenas. It would also specifically allow people to use the restrooms, locker rooms, and changing rooms that match their gender identity rather than their anatomy at birth. The state Senate has already passed the bill. The House is expected to do the same. And with Baker's signature, Massachusetts would join 17 other states with similar laws already on the books. Earlier this month, we spoke to Andrew Beckwith, president of the Massachusetts Family Institute, who opposes the bill. Today, we're joined by Jennifer Levi. She's director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project. And Jennifer Levi, good to have you back on the program.
Thanks. Nice to be on the program.
First, let me start with your reaction to Governor Baker's announcement today that he would sign the bill if it's the House version of the bill.
Look, I think it's great that the governor has now spoken out in support of the transgender community's inclusion in Massachusetts law, and I'm very hopeful about a positive vote tomorrow and this bill eventually becoming law.
Right. Now, in 2011, Governor Patrick signed a law extending anti-discrimination protections to transgender people in housing and employment. So tell us why this bill is needed.
Yeah, in 2011, the legislature considered a bill that would have added protections for transgender people across all of the Commonwealth civil rights laws. And you know, for reasons, I guess, that are still being understood, the legislature did not add protections for transgender people in public accommodations, which means, as you said, that transgender people don't necessarily have statewide protections for accessing restaurants, hotels, malls, theaters, et cetera. And so the legislature is coming back to really finish what was left undone in 2011.
Right. And of course, the thing that, as you mentioned, this talks about transgender rights in all sorts of public spaces. What has created the most controversy is the right of transgender people to go into the bathrooms of their choice. So we spoke, as we mentioned, to Andrew Beckwith, president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. And I want to get you to respond to a couple of things that he said. So let's listen to him right now.
If we normalize the presence of anatomical males in spaces that are typically reserved for women, intimate spaces, that endangers both the safety and the privacy of women.
So respond to that. I mean, is that a valid concern that someone might take advantage of this law?
You know, it already sounds like such antiquated thinking, given both the passage of the law in 2011, which, of course, guaranteed transgender people appropriate access to restrooms in the context of employment, and also for transgender students in schools. So the reality is that what the opponents say really misunderstands transgender people. So a transgender boy is a boy, a transgender man is a man, and what they're seeking is restroom access to the men's room. The same thing for a transgender girl or transgender women seeking access to the restroom consistent with who they are. I think what we're finding is that people understand both who transgender people are and the way in which the law has been working since 2011. We see the opposition really diminish.
Yeah. You know, as you know, earlier this month, the Obama administration sent a letter to public schools across the country to insist that transgender people be given access to bathrooms and other facilities corresponding to their gender identity. And I want to just read you a response to that. It came from Peter Schuck, professor emeritus at Yale Law School. He wrote a fairly thoughtful piece in the New York Times. He expressed, first of all, support for protecting the rights of transgender Americans. But I thought he took a stab at sort of trying to explain why this has created such controversy and misunderstanding in this country. And he suggests that the Obama administration's position could actually impede the rights of transgender people by unleashing a backlash. And he says, by treating transgender people's desire to use the bathroom of their choice for a few minutes as a right runs the risk of trampling on all other concerns about privacy and modesty in a setting that many people, you know, want to feel safe in. Can you respond to that? Because I thought it was an interesting attempt to sort of explain the sort of complicated and perhaps complicated set of misunderstandings around this issue.
Yeah, you know, I think that the U.S. Justice Department and President Obama said it best when they recognized that protecting transgender people's rights is about recognizing the dignity and the humanity of individuals, and that if you carve off any particular area as not ensuring protections for the community and waiting, I guess, for some other day to address those issues, you really ultimately undermine the whole point of having the civil rights laws in the first place, which is, of course, to provide protections when people face discrimination, but also to really shift the public understanding about who people are. And, you know, it's not just about having those protections for the few minutes or the, you know, period of time when somebody has to access those facilities, but it's about recognizing the fundamental dignity of transgender people, and that if you carve off an area of the law and say transgender people aren't protected in those areas, you really undermine the protections of the law in the first place.
I want to come back to the bill that the House is going to be debating tomorrow. Baker, the governor, made a point of saying that he supports the House bill as it is written now. And I guess the key difference is, unlike the Senate bill, it includes a provision directing the state attorney general's office to issue guidance for prosecuting anyone who asserts gender identity for an improper use. You're comfortable with that distinction between the bills?
As a description, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is. I mean, there's some other differences as well that relate to the timing that I think are important as well. But that's one of the most significant differences between the House bill being considered tomorrow and the Senate bill that's passed.
So tell us about a couple of the other differences from the Senate bill that you expect to see debated tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I mean, there's, you know, a number of representatives who would seek to even change the bill as it came out of the Judiciary Committee. So that's one of the problems. I think that'll be the focus of debate. And, you know, I think that there are some real problems in the ways in which the language that authorizes the Attorney General to issue guidance has been written. I honestly think much of that's insider baseball, and I think it can be addressed in some minor changes to the bill. But, you know, tomorrow the House is really going to be considering broadly the importance of extending protections for transgender people in all areas of public accommodations. And it's really, you know, really is important and will be a very significant advance for the transgender community if it moves forward. And it does.
All right. Jennifer Levi, Director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project. Jennifer, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay.